Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Hawk Talk podcast. I am your host, Tyler Menendez, and I'm looking forward to this one. Today is Friday, April 11th, 2025, and we have a lot to get through today. So later on in the show, we're going to take a deep dive into KU Baseball's upcoming road trip and all the implications there. But before we get there, we're going to take a look back at this week in KU Athletics. So to kick us off, we're going to take a look at men's volleyball. Things are not looking too hot as of late. They're on a four-game losing streak. They just lost to the number 11 in the country, McKendree Bearcats. They have not won a game since they upset the Ball State Cardinals, the number 14 Ball State Cardinals. So kind of interesting to see that they haven't caught a win since they upset them. But against McKendree, Dylan Feely had a career day. He won Toyota Star of the Week. He recorded 5.5 points on 3 kills, 2 aces, and a block assist, all while notching 10 digs. This was good for a double-double performance, and like I mentioned, he did earn Star of the Week. They're going to wrap up their season tonight and tomorrow at Pepsi Arena, 7 o'clock on Friday, 5 on Saturday. And it's not going to be such a sweet cherry on top to the season, as they got a tough opponent in the number 15 ranked Ohio State Buckeyes. They're coming off a 3-game hot streak coming into this one. But I did hear that if the Hawks take at least one of these, that they will make the postseason tournament. So a lot of implications coming into that one. Moving on to golf. Got me in the golf mood with the Masters coming on this weekend. Really looking forward to that. But let's take a look at KU golf. Last weekend, they participated in the Ken Partridge Invitational. Leading the pack was Griffin Taylor. He shot rounds of 71, 82, and finished off with a pretty impressive 68, finishing with 221, which gave him a tie for 35th in the tournament. With the same total on the day was Riley West for the Hawks. He shot a 71, a 76, and a 74. We can also mention Jack Driscoll. He contributed a 226. He shot a 73, a 75, and a 78. He tied for 61st, and Ryan Kruse followed closely behind him with a 227, finishing 68th in the tournament. And that's all I have for golf. Moving on to men's and women's tennis. The men's were on the road, taking a 7-0 win over the Prairie State College in Chicago Heights. And, yeah, the Hawks completely dominated, coming in number one doubles. We had Inigo Villacampa and Joseph Restrepo. They won 6-2, number two doubles. We had Gianni Lopez and Trevino Coelho Rodrigo winning that one 6-3, number three doubles. Puig Abad Gerard and Marco Kukuk took that one 6-0. And moving on to the singles, we had Inigo Villacampa winning that one. Joseph Restrepo taking another win. Gianni Lopez winning his singles match, as well as Puig Abad Gerard, and Trevino Coelho Rodrigo won his, and Niela Mateos Pablo took his as well. So a clean sweep over Prairie State. And then they made the switch and came back home and played the very next day, winning 7-0 in that one. As let me pull up the recap here. Great performance from the Hawks. All the doubles winning 6-2 in all those except one, the first, where they would win 7-6. But yeah, long story short, a clean sweep over Missouri Valley in that second game. Really good grit coming back and winning both after a long road trip. And then with the women's, they did not compete against Prairie State, but they did against Missouri Valley. They didn't have such a fortunate outcome. It was a 3-4 loss, well fought, but this adds now to a 4-game losing streak for them. Coming up soon, we got both the men's and women's at home today at 2 against Jewel, and tomorrow versus Rockhurst at home at 1 o'clock. Moving on to men's and women's lacrosse, starting with the men's. Last weekend, traveled to Kansas City to play Rockhurst, where they lost 15-7. But can't fail to mention Mason Luoma, who had a 3-goal game, as well as Connor Nock, who notched in 2 of his own. Some good performances out of those Hawks, but ultimately not enough. We got Rockhurst now on a game, 4-game winning streak after that win. Coming up tomorrow, the men's will be traveling to Maryville for a game in St. Louis. Moving on to the women's, they had a road loss against Missouri Western last Saturday. They lost 18-11, but can't fail to note Elena Wilkinson scoring five goals in that game, as well as Amelia Hamm clocking in 3 of her own. And today they will be on the road to play William Jewell at 2 o'clock, and they will be back in town at home on Sunday at noon to play Rockhurst, hopefully to avenge the men's team after their loss to the Hawks last weekend. Moving on to track and field, last weekend they were in the True Blue Invite in Jacksonville, Illinois. Katie Park, Quincy sophomore, placed 3rd place in the 1500 meter. She got a time of 5 minutes and 26 tenths of a second. And then we also have freshman Ava Serta. She placed 11th in the women's 800. She had a time of 2:45. And then we also have junior Brianna Obenmayer. She placed 15th in the 800. Her time was 2:56. So we had some pretty good standouts there. Looking forward to today, actually. The Hawks will be in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, to today and tomorrow for the Mustang Distance Carnival. So looking forward to seeing Katie Park break some more records and continue to make a name for herself. Moving on to the diamond, we got softball. Last weekend, they had Strikeout Cancer Day at home. This was Sunday. There was a doubleheader against Drury. Game 1 was a 5-1 loss, and in Game 2 was an 8-7 loss. But in that Game 2, Kenzie Moss made her name known. She went 2-for-4 with a double and clocked in 4 RBIs. Pretty good day for her. And this past Monday, they had a doubleheader against S&T. They won game one, 2-1. Kaylin Conger won a complete game, 7 innings, 4 Ks. But it kind of seemed like this early win in the series pissed off the Missouri S&T Miners, and they turned around and short game the Hawks 15-1. So definitely going to need to bounce back for these softball Hawks, as tomorrow they will be in St. Louis for a doubleheader against the Umsl Tritons. They will be playing at 12-2. And now switching from softball to baseball, last weekend the Hawks were at home for a 4-game series against U Indy. They had a doubleheader on Saturday. The Hawks took game 1. Some highlights on the offense. We had David Broughton and Matt Mateo both leaving the yard in this one. Broughton drove in 3 on a very, very clutch 3-run home run down the stretch. Game 2, tough loss, 8-1. Hawks kind of seemed to be dominated by UND pitching. But moving on to Day 2, we had another doubleheader on that Sunday. Game 1 came down as an extra inning thriller. Hawks were down to their last 6 outs, down 4, and needing to fight back, coming down to a J.D. Ortiz nuke to right field, which would tie the game and send it into extras. And then in the bottom of the 8th, Jake Vitale would come up and drive in the game-winning run on a sac fly, scoring Joe Huffman and ultimately sealing the deal. Game 4, little bit unfortunate back and forth battle. The final score was 13-7, but I would not say that the scoreboard necessarily dictated how that game went. UIndy clocked in 6 runs in the top of the 8th in extras, and that's kind of where the Greyhounds ran off with it. But that's about all we have in this week in Q Sports. Moving on, today we have a special guest on the podcast. Today we have a QU TV reporter as well as a QU baseball player. I am happy to introduce Jake Vitale, ladies and gentlemen.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for coming on. So as I mentioned earlier, you drove in the game-winning run last Sunday against the Greyhounds. So basically, can you just take me through that at bat and kind of what was your approach coming up to the plate?
Well, Joe led off that inning with a good shot that fell off the center fielder's glove. So it felt like we were destined to win that game, and I knew that I had a shot going up to the plate. You know, I was standing on deck, and JD hit that nuke, like you said, to tie the game. So in the back of my mind, and clearly in the front of UIndy's mind, was they're going to walk him, and I'm going to get a shot. So I was really just going through, and like, it's been a season of ups and downs for me, so I wanted to get this moment done. So I just, you know, tried to calm myself and, you know, focus my breathing and focus on getting the job done, which, you know, eventually happened. So it worked out well for me.
Yes, you definitely got the job done. Absolutely. So I got another question for you. Have you ever hit a walk-off before in your career? Was this a first for you?
No, it wasn't a first for me, but it was a first as a Quincy Hawk. My sophomore year, we played a doubleheader to start off the season, and we won game one on a walk-off home run, and then in game two of that doubleheader, I walked it off with a single down the right field line. So that was a pretty exciting day for me and my team that sophomore year, and I mean this one, just because the circumstances and all, I think I like it even more.
That's pretty awesome. And so I can only imagine how that feels from your perspective. I mean, I'm just on the sidelines and I'm pumped up out of my boots. What was that feeling like afterwards, you know, after you know the deal was sealed? Kind of what was going through your head as you were running around the field in celebration?
I mean, it's like the best feeling you can have as a baseball player is like, you know, whenever you dream as a little kid, you dream of walking games off and running and getting, you know, basically abused by your teammates over in a little huddle. You're shoving each other, jumping up and down. It's a great time. I mean, whenever I just I had 2 strikes on me, he made a good pitch. First pitch, it was a slider, and then got a fastball that I fouled off. So then from there, I just choked up and was like, I got to flick this ball out into the outfield because they brought 5 infielders. They brought their right fielder in to stand behind second base. So I was just trying to flick a ball out there, which I did. And I mean, whenever you see, you know, Joe cross the plate, I threw my hands up and I just immediately looked towards the dugout and was like, who am I going to run into? I kind of got bounced around, but it was a good time. I mean, it's the best feeling in the world. You're just, you know, every time I watch like the video that you and Henry have, like I just smile watching it. It's a good time.
Yeah, I was just about to say you had no problem finding me. You came right to the camera afterwards. Yeah, no, that was pretty awesome. That was really fun to experience and be there. And congratulations on that, and congratulations on the win. So kind of shifting from last week's series into the series starting today, you guys have got the number 18 ranked Lewis Flyers this weekend, coming off a clean sweep of Umsl last weekend. They did have a midweek this week. They lost 8-4 to Roosevelt, but it seems like they're pretty hot. So from a player's perspective, what are kind of some keys to victory that you think the Hawks are going to need this weekend to be successful?
I mean, Lewis is good, and they have a lot of experience. So they have a lot of experience, a lot of seniors, dudes, older dudes who are performing really well this year. So I think a key to our success this week as an older guy is to match those. If we can, if the older guys this week, you know, step up and do their jobs, it'll help, you know, the younger dudes be able to settle in and understand that we know that we can play with anybody, but whenever that's, you know, like younger guys like Isaiah Fudge or like David Broughton, whenever it's those guys that have to pick up the dudes who are older, it's tougher for the team to, you know, rally as a whole. So I think if we have our older guys on the staff do well and the older guys in the lineup perform, I think we're going to come out with a good result as a team.
I would say so. You definitely need to have those veterans, you know, taking the charge in these games. So kind of moving on, shifting from the team to more of a personal side. You know, baseball is a very individual sport, and you need to make adjustments from weekend to weekend. So, do you have any personal goals for the weekend? Is there anything you're working on specifically that you want to, you know, tune into or hone in this weekend?
Yeah, I want to get on base more. I can do a lot for the team whenever I'm on base, being able to take, you know, an extra base, first to third, or steal a couple bases. So recently I just haven't been getting on base at the rate that I would like. So I want to focus more on my my pitch selection and not getting deep into counts. Whenever I can, you know, get those early strikes, not get to two strike counts, move the ball around the field, challenge the defense, you know, take my walks. As long as I do that, I'll perform well. I'll get my doubles and all that. So I just want to focus on getting on base and attacking the pitches early, because I know they're going to be good, and I know that normally good teams like to fill up the zone. So I'm going to be looking to attack early.
Yeah, definitely stay in those hitter counts. So I really got nothing else for you. Is there anything else that you have for the listeners? One last note for the Hawks fans as you guys come into Lewis for a four-game series.
I really don't have too much besides, you know, tune in later tonight and over this weekend on the GLVC Sports Network, and go Hawks.
Well, thank you for joining me, Jake, and thank you all for tuning in to the Hawk Talk podcast. My name is Tyler Menendez. For more podcast episodes and other KU sports news, check out our social media at KU Media and KUmedia.net. Have a great day, everyone.